Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday Night Bible Study. I'm Pastor Joe Brazino from Locust Grove Church, and we have been on an extensive series that I've entitled God, the Holy Spirit, and boy, have we discovered great ministries of this presence of the Holy Spirit, which is often kind of seems like he works in a hidden capacity. We normally think of the Father as God, and He is all God, and we think of the Son as God, and He is all God, but not often do we think of the Holy Spirit. You know, as many, as far-reaching as His ministries are, varied, many of them, we don't think of Him primarily. We think of the Father, or we think of the Son, but this whole study has been for the purpose of drawing attention to the Holy Spirit. Even though His role in the Trinity, in the Godhead, is not draw attention to Himself, Jesus said He does not want to bring glory to Himself. He wants to bring glory to Me and bring glory to the Father. So that is the role of the Holy Spirit, but we want to bring light to His work. And here recently we've been chopping away at the fruit of the Spirit. I love it. I love it. I love it. This is my favorite personal. That's many, many ministries, and we haven't touched a few of them yet. As many, many ministries of the Holy Spirit, I love the fact that He comes into our lives to dwell within us, to produce this fruit, to produce this fragrance. And I love it, because it is through this fruit that we as believers will be able to reflect Jesus. Listen carefully, reflect Jesus to other believers, and also reflect Jesus to non-believers. You know, I love it when people, you know, look at another believer and they say, you know, how can you not be so worried? Why are you so at peace? Why is it that you forgave that person just like that? Why did you forgive him? Why aren't you bitter? Why aren't you angry? Why aren't you really worked up? Because they're seeing shades of Jesus. They're seeing glimmers of Jesus through our lives. You know, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in and through me. I love, that's one of my favorite verses of Scripture. I don't quote it often. I probably should, and I most likely will, but that is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. And so if you have your Bibles here, I quoted Galatians. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5, please. We're going to continue plugging away, and we're going to finish this ministry of the Holy Spirit of bearing fruit in the believer's life. So we want to look at that very carefully. If you're in Galatians chapter 5, let's jump into verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and those who are in Christ, who are Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, rather. Yeah, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So by bearing fruit, we're not only living in the Spirit. Really, what does living in the Spirit mean? That the Holy Spirit lives in us. We're living this life that we're benefiting from the Holy Spirit living in us. But He says, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. I love the NIV that says, keep in step with the Spirit. Isn't that great? I remember when I was a kid, and my mom would take me grocery shopping, you know, or take me downtown. She was going to buy a couple things at the meat market. And sometimes I would just drag along because I wasn't happy that she had to take me. You know, why didn't my other brothers have to come along? It's me, the firstborn, that has to come along. And so I wasn't keeping in step with her. So she just yanked my arm and make me start, you know, speeding it up a little bit so that I could, in fact, keep in step with her. And so, you know, I use that illustration to basically say sometimes the Holy Spirit kind of jerks the slack on us and makes sure that we're not dragging along and we're not just dragging our heels behind Him, but that we're more and more keeping in step with Him. Because if we keep in step with Him, if we live in the Spirit, we're going to keep in step with the Spirit. If we keep in step with the Spirit, we're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And that's really, in essence, what keeping in step with the Spirit is. It is walking with the Spirit, all right? So we've looked at several of these. So let's jump into verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. And now let's look at faithfulness. I know some translations uses the word faith, but really the more true translations use the word faithfulness. Okay, notice, let's look at that word faithfulness. What does the word faithfulness mean? It means to be trustworthy. It means to be reliable. Okay, so are you as a person faithful? Are you trustworthy? Are you reliable? Can you be depended upon? Can you be counted upon? Can I ask you a question? Do you have follow through in your life? Can you stick to something, or can really in a lot of ways, can you stick to someone as a faithful person? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a faithful person will abound with blessings. And in Matthew chapter 25, you know, when we all stand before the Lord, you know, Jesus never said, well done, good and gifted servant. No, he didn't say gifted servant. He didn't say, well done, good and strong servant. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, well done, good and loving servant. No, he didn't say that. The words we want to hear, the words that Jesus will tell us, we pray at the end of our lives, are, well done, good and faithful servant. A lot of people don't put a lot of stock in faithfulness, at least not the way they should, not the way God puts stock on faithfulness. You know, God puts a high premium on faithfulness. That's what we will be judged by at the end of our lives. Were we faithful? Did we stick to His calling on our lives? Did we stick to projects? You know, let me say here, I've discovered after 54 years of life is that, you know, when I first got into this whole Christian reality as a teenager, I thought that I would always keep my Christian friends around me. But, you know, life happens. Some of them relocated, or I relocated. And, you know, I found that sometimes some people come into your life for a season, not for the end. And, you know, John Maxwell says, I love this quote by John Maxwell, great teacher on leadership, great expert on leadership. He says, not all the people that start with you in your journey of faith will end with you. Okay? They'll move on, and that's okay. Not everybody that comes into your life is meant to be there with you, or are you meant to be there with them for the rest of their lives. They come into your life for a season. But let me ask you this question. In faithfulness, are we faithful to them during that season? What does that mean? Are we committed to them? Are we committed to helping them? Are we committed to making them better people? You know, I found out that when I work on myself to be a better person, that somehow people kind of take that kind of lead. And speaking of leadership, you know, if we're not leading by example, we have no right to tell other people to lead or follow, rather. Because leadership is example. It is not telling others what you think they should be doing. If you're not doing that, oh, hello. Once had a friend of mine, and every time I drove and they sat on the passenger side, they would always be like, watch your speed, watch your speed. I don't want, you know, watch your speed. I'm like, give me a break. I am an adult. And then when they drove, they didn't care about the speed limit. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. You're telling me to watch my speed and drive speed limit, but when you're behind the wheel, you're going to let it rip open. Well, that's a little hypocritical. Or when I would be washing my hands during this period of COVID-19. Oh, you got to recite your ABCs. Don't finish washing your hands until you've recited ABCs. Okay, so I'm washing, you know, ABC. And then when they washed their hands, it was like not even 3 seconds. And I'm like, what? How does that work? All right? As believers, we lead by example. We lead by faithfulness. We don't lead by words. Yeah, I thought so. Okay, let's move on. I think I've gone to meddling now. Okay, the next one is gentleness. Gentleness. I love Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 that says, let your, and this is a Greek word, gentleness, let your moderation, some translation says that, let your moderation be known to all men. Another one says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Are we allowing our gentleness to be known to other people? You know what I have found, church family, that what gentleness does to me and has done to me over the years? You know what? When I was younger, I would pick fights. I would get very defensive, number one. I would let people put me on my heels and get me on the defensive. And so I felt the need to try to justify myself, to try to explain myself, to try to do this and that. You know what, man? No, you're not going to get me on my defensive. I'm going to be gentle with you. Because when I get on the defensive, then I'm not thinking about you. I'm not thinking about others. I'm only thinking about my hide and trying to protect my dignity and try to save face with me. That's not the way of Jesus, man. You're not going to get me defensive. I don't owe you, baby, an explanation. And can I take it further? If you don't like my peaches, then don't shake my tree, baby. So I want to encourage us, church family, listen, practice gentleness. Paul the Apostle told the Philippian church in Philippians 4, 5, let that characteristic be known to everybody, the fact that you're gentle. And when some people demand answers, you know, not everybody's entitled to know about certain things in your life, and that's okay. You don't owe anybody an explanation unless you're standing in front of a judge. Maybe then you might want to give one. But gentleness, baby, is very important. It is very critical to us as believers. We need to have a gentle spirit. You know, when we're dealing with the hurting, when we're dealing with the weak, when we're dealing with the spiritually young, we need to be gentle. You know, that's one characteristic that's taken me a little too long for me to begin to develop. I remember several years ago, my middle daughter, you know, I was sitting in my, this is when we lived in the same city. My middle daughter came to me in tears, you know, behind closed doors in my office, and she was pleading with me. She was saying, Dad, you're a little too heavy-handed from the pulpit, Dad. You need to dial it down. You need to be more gracious. You need to be more gentle. And she was telling me that through tears, and I was defensive. I let her attempt at a loving rebuke and at a humble rebuke to put me on the defensive. I'm really embarrassed to even share this with you because I'm not like that anymore. That's my daughter. She has every right to speak correction in my life if I'm not towing the line. You know, she did it through tears. Wow. But thankfully, by the grace of God, you know, I'm gentle. I remember once I had a dream once, you know, and it's one of the most real dreams I've ever had. I know I can have crazy dreams and I can have, you know, silly dreams, but this one has always stuck with me. And I remember it was me standing at a line of several people, and it was not like the end of my life. It was like a mid-life correction. And there at the end of the line stood the Lord. Oh my gosh. And I remember the feeling I had when the line was getting shorter, as, you know, Jesus would talk to one and they would go off, and then Jesus would talk to another one and they would go off. And there was like two people between me and Jesus. And I remember in my dream, I was clenching my fist out of nervousness. And I had a lot of nervous energy, and so I couldn't stand still. I remember vividly. And I thought, I was thinking in my mind, oh, he's going to nail me on this. He's going to nail me on that. He's going to nail me on this. He's going to nail me on that. And I remember it was my time to see Jesus. And he looked at me with love, but he looked at me firmly. And he only said three words to me. He said, Joe, gosh, I get teary-eyed with this. Sorry. He said, Joe, be gentle. And that stood with me. And that was a catalyst in my life that has helped me to become more gentle. That was real, that real dream. So I want to encourage us, church family, we need to pursue gentleness in our lives. Okay, the last one, and we are done, all right? And the last one is self-control. That is an important fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants us, listen, to be free in our lives. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to be slaves to sin, doesn't want us to be slaves to addictions, compulsions, doesn't want us to be slaves to something. You know, I remember one time I kind of had a little come to Jesus with one of my youth pastors when I was in ministry. I was a senior pastor and he was my youth pastor. And to be quite honest, he tended to be a little judgmental. And I finally had a talk with him because he was a tall guy. And we, you know, at the time my wife and I had taken him out to eat, and that brother could put away groceries. I mean, I'm talking put away groceries. And I finally told him, I said, how can you judge your own youth group students and then at the same time eat like a glutton? I said, brother, before you try to take that plank or that little splinter out of your brother's eye or your youth group student's eye, why don't you practice some self-control at the table, buddy? Because you're judging them over something, but you're not looking at yourself. You're not judging yourself. And the Bible says we should judge ourselves, lest we be judged. You know, very interesting when we start flipping that. Why do I say that? Self-control is important. Okay, can I get into some areas? Are we practicing self-control with gossip? You know, they say that loose lips sink ships. Are we that kind of person? Do we feel the need to tell everybody alive with the latest news? You know, breaking news. Do we do it at the table? Do we practice self-control at the table with food? With alcohol? Self-control? The Bible doesn't, in the New Testament, doesn't condemn the drinking of alcohol. It condemns drunkenness and drinking wine in excess. 1 Timothy says that. Is that an issue with you? What about our anger? Do we have self-control over our anger? Can we cap it down here? Or do we let the least little thing, you know, become a C4 bomb just going off? And all of a sudden we're really honked off for a long period of time. My friend, we got to practice self-control. I would much rather live a spirit-controlled life than me being a slave to one sin or another. What about pornography? Are you a slave to porn? That is smut. That is junk. It denigrates. It demeans a woman. And I don't say that judgmentally, my friend. But if you're struggling with that, you got to punch that through and practice some self-control and ask the Lord to help you with self-control. All right. I think I've gotten meddling, but it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. So thankfully we've looked at this. Now, next week, we're going to go on to a different direction, another ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together of your word. Help us, Lord, to grow. Help us to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Help us to develop the fruit in our lives, Lord, by the active presence of your Holy Spirit in us. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.